Thank you, Leanne, one of our recently or soon-to-be graduated seniors, daughter of Doug and Ruth. She read well, didn't she? I wanted to just take a moment and introduce Tim Mascara, because I know some of you don't know him. And while Tim has been with us for a while, we have people to the church that are new. And Tim is one of our interns. He is a student at Reformed Theological Seminary, finishing your second year, right? Finishing your second year. With our interns, what we do is they have to finish their preaching classes, and then they can preach here. He did that a while ago. And so this is Tim's second night to be bringing us God's Word, and I'm looking forward to it. I had the joy of being able to officiate his marriage to Amanda. And one thing about Tim, if you have not gotten to know him, I'd encourage you to do so. I'm still getting to know Tim, but two things that stand out to me about Tim are things about his spirit. His gentleness and his reflectiveness are very evident to me. And so I commend him to you, not just as an intern, but as a godly young man that you should get to know. And so those of you who have children in the youth ministry, I want you to know, between Sean and his leaders and Tim, your kids are in very good hands. So Tim, thank you for your preparation tonight. And like I said, if you've not met Tim, take some time and meet him tonight after the service.
Well, on that note, let's start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us with your word. I pray that we would just get a glimpse of our bridegroom. As we sang in the song, Lord, shining like the sun, look forward to that day, God. Just pray that tonight through your word, through the preaching of your word, as you speak through me, that we would see a glimpse of our King. I ask all this in your glorious and precious name. Amen. Jumping into the text right away, due to time constraints, where they had to cut me down to 15 minutes for this sermon. So luckily, you don't have to sit through too long of the intern sermon. But I want to begin with, well, where every psalm begins. In fact, where every book begins, where every chapter begins, verse 1. The psalmist here takes a verse out for himself to share the feeling and the opportunity he's getting for what's going to come next. What I love about the Psalms is the psalmist is always so energetic and descriptive with the word choice. You know, his heart is overflowing with the noble theme. You can think of a fountain that is just overflowing. And that's the psalmist's heart here with this theme that he gets to present. He has the privilege to share a love song with us. It has to do with the King and his bride and the wedding. And that's how I feel with the opportunity to get to study the word and get to come here and work through it with you and to share all the intricacies and the beauty of God's word. My heart is just overflowing with the chance and the opportunity to do that. Such a blessing to be up here. I don't know how the other pastors feel, but it's truly a blessing to get this opportunity with you. So when we look at this psalm, we're presented with one of two things. Either this is a psalm that is just poetical expression that in some ways seems to go beyond poetic license and is only talking about a mere earthly king who some scholars would say would be Solomon and the princess of Egypt. Or there's something greater. There's something more going on here. It's pointing to someone greater other than Solomon. And I would argue, as would the New Testament authors, that it's pointing to Christ. This is a foreshadowing of Christ. And we can learn a lot from this psalm in our own relationships and in how we come to services and in how we look at communion. Hebrews 1, 8, and 9 is a direct quote from 45, 6, and 7. The author writes, "But of the Son," that's Christ Jesus, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. We're getting a foreshadow of our bridegroom. We're getting a foretaste of the great wedding feast to come. Communion is a foretaste of that wedding banquet that we're going to take part in. But before we get into all the comparisons, I want to look at it just on an earthly level, just on a king and his bride. You see, what's going on here is the king is getting ready to marry a princess. And you just see some of the phrases that refer to beauty. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. And then of the princess, all glorious is the princess in her chamber. With robes interwoven with gold, in many colored robes, she is led to the king. You know, it reminds me of my own wedding. Just recently got married to Amanda, 5.5 months ago. And the sanctuary, we had it here. It was beautiful. There were candles everywhere. Some middle thing with candles in it. I don't know what you call it. But lights going down the aisle. And I can remember standing right down here with Rick at my side and my wedding party next to me, just waiting in anticipation to see my bride. I was trying to think, how do I express the feelings that I had that day? Words can't explain the beauty. When those doors opened, I was stunned. She was stunningly beautiful. And for those that were there, just as now, I tried to maintain composure, but I failed utterly. She was just so captivating and so beautiful that I was filled with joy and gladness of seeing her. It was as if her own robes were interwoven with gold and then the life we were going to share together. That's the kind of joy and gladness and beauty we see here. Men, think of your own brides, those that are married. Think of how beautiful they looked that day. And while I did not compare in any light to her beauty, I was in a tuxedo. I was freshly shaven and had a fresh haircut and looked pretty good myself. But to continue on the earthly level, if you've heard this before, please forgive me. I'll briefly share it. But we have to understand how weddings took place in their time period. See, what happened was the groom would assemble at his house. Or for the king, he'd assemble at his palace with his friends and his family. And he'd be getting himself dressed in current times, put on a tuxedo. And the bride over on her house would be preparing as well. She'd be adorning herself with robes and jewelry with her family and friends.